people with real jobs.
Hello? Oh.
Self-employed people. Which do you want to be? This is Certifiably Unemployable. It's time to fire the boss and become self-employed. Maybe you need a push to get that business or side gig going that you've been dreaming about for years. And if you're an entrepreneur, you can listen to stories and get experience from people who've done it. Get ready to change your life. Broadcasting from the compound, this is Certifiably Unemployable. And this is Sean Dean.
Welcome to Certifiably Unemployable. I am your host, Sean Dean, and we appreciate you bringing us into your busy week. We know business is cranking. Things are doing great. You're an entrepreneur, so there's a lot happening, right? And so we do appreciate you being a part of our program and allowing us to be in your lives. And don't forget, if you want to make comments, you want to just let us know your thought process, not just on today's episode, but on future episodes and things that you might want to know more about. If I can't talk about it specifically, I will reach out and find the expert that can go ahead and give us more knowledge. Because when you're an entrepreneur, when you're a self-employed person, you always want to have that support system. And Certifiably Unemployable 100% is your biggest cheerleader, one of your biggest support systems that you're going to have. And we want to stay together, right? So you can visit us at CertifiablyUnemployable.com. You can also find us on Facebook. You can find us on TikTok. You can also find us on YouTube and in other social media channels. So today we're going to be talking about how to build relationships with your employees, right? Maybe you've got that time in your business, and this could be one of those things in your business that is one of the best things that happens. It can also be one of the things in your business that you're like, oh, I'm not looking forward to this. But in reality, if you want to grow your business, you're either going to have to bring on more people. You're going to have, whether they be employees or subcontractors. Now, with that being said, I'm not here to tell you whether you should hire a subcontractor, whether you should hire an employee. I would seek legal counsel on that. I would also understand the different ways of how your tax law works when it comes to employees versus subcontractors or somebody you're going to hire per job. So we're talking today about the relationship and how to strengthen that relationship. And over the years, I've had many employees, I've had many subcontractors work under my corporations, and I'm not going to candy coat it. It's not easy. It 100% is a challenge. And one of the biggest things that I found as a self-employed business owner, when you hire people, it's hard to separate church from state. It's hard to separate the relationship you have with an employee and bring it into your personal life, because it's hard. You know, you're a human being. Some people, it's a lot easier to say no. 5 o'clock comes, the business closes, I don't need to talk to that person until tomorrow. Some people have that mentality, and other people, they don't. Now, some companies have a very warm camaraderie with their staff, and they treat them like family, and that works. And so as you're navigating through that process, hiring staff, hiring employees, bringing on subcontractors, you have to understand what that picture looks like. So that way you can navigate through that the way you need to navigate that. And again, we've talked about it many times. Your goal today may be different tomorrow, maybe different in 5 years, because that's the way business grows. So I'm going to give you some ideas. I'm going to give you maybe some experiences that I've been through personally, and some things that I have found can be maybe beneficial for the person listening. Okay. So one of the things you want to do that can help you strengthen that relationship with your employees is you want to have an open door policy, right? If an employee feels comfortable coming to you with new ideas, concerns, or even worst case scenario complaints, right? They have a problem. You have to be willing for them to feel comfortable to come and talk to you. One of the things that we did at one of our locations when we were in the event business is I had a general manager actually that came up with this idea, and it was great. And it actually came from when he was in the pizza industry. It was, don't come to me with a problem, come to me with a solution. So as a business owner, you look through things with a certain set of lenses, right? Well, your employee, the people that are executing these day in to day projects, they may see it a little differently because they're the ones that are implementing it. So rather than them coming to you and saying, you know what, I don't like this, it's a problem, you need to fix it. One of the things that we tried to encourage our staff to do was, don't come to me with a problem, come to me with a solution. So in other words, if you find something that doesn't work, that's fine, right? We want to know about it. But try to come to us with something that you, so I don't like this, it doesn't work because of this. However, I have found that maybe if we try doing it this way, we can now achieve the same ultimate goal, but more effectively, right? And so what you're doing there, in my opinion, is you're allowing the open door policy to be in place, and you're not shutting down the fact that you don't want to hear the, you don't want to hear the problem, but you want to turn that negative into a positive, right? Okay, it doesn't work, I understand, but what can we do to make it work? So that was something we found that really did work, and we found that it opened up our staff, it opened up our employees. We got a lot of feedback, and we also found that our way wasn't necessarily the best way. We had the right intention, and we wanted to accomplish a certain goal, but we really weren't sure how to get to point A to point B properly, and so something like that can help. You also want to be present, right? That kind of goes with what we just talked about. Emailing, instant messaging, webcams may make communicating with your employees more convenient. You know, if you're never in the office, then you have to make yourself available, whether it's a text message or if they can, maybe you'll download an app like Telegram or something, and you'll create a group for the entire staff where if they have an overall question or if they need to get a hold of you, there's a way they can text you, they can instant message you. So, you know, I mean, it's really no substitution for them talking to you face to face, but it at least allows them to reach out to you and say, hey, Sean, I have a situation. And maybe from there you could set up a time to, you know, get with them in person and chat one-on-one. I know you're busy. We're all busy. But when you bring on other people into your business, you have to allow yourself time to negate that relationship space, right? You have to make sure that you allow your staff members, whether they be managers or employees or whatever the case may be, they have to be able to communicate with you. You also want to spend some quality time with your employees. It's not enough time to just be present for meetings or other essential tasks. Now, if you want to have a real relationship with them, you have to be there for the ups and downs, like maybe volunteer your time on projects that are difficult. If they've got a big job and you know, for example, we've had times in the past where when we were in the event business, we had, you know, multiple tents going up. It was a 3-4 day project. I would always encourage myself as well as my management, listen, we need to find time to go out there, check up on them, bring them drinks, bring them food, but more importantly, give them a hand. Allow us to be a part of the project because it shows them that you're not an absentee owner. It shows them that you're hands-on. It shows them that you're not afraid to get your hands dirty. I mean, yeah, you're not obligated to sit there and do all the things that they do because that's what they're hired for, but you want to be a part of them, okay? I mean, it's hectic. Sit down, have a bottle of water with them, right? Eat lunch with them, do all those things because it really does make a difference. And even if you have a large staff or a small staff, it works the same way. Somebody has a birthday coming up, recognize that birthday. Make something for them, like, you know, maybe have a little staff lunch or do something. It doesn't have to be after hours stuff because that's, in my opinion, where now it's hard to separate the boss and employee relationship. So I'm going to let you decide how to handle that part. But I will tell you that personally for me, when I would do stuff after hours with staff, I mean, outside of holiday parties and things like that, it did make things a little bit challenging when you had to maybe be more stern or you had to make a boss decision that might affect them as an employee, now you're possibly affecting a friend. It does make it harder. You also want to make sure that you're fair. You want to treat everybody in the workplace the same. Don't negate how you treat somebody based on A, B, and C. Now, if they're in a management role, they have different things that they need to worry about, things like that. That's one thing. But if you've got a staff of delivery guys or a staff of installation crew, or you've got, let's say you've got a group of, you know, customer service people, and you have certain criteria that you want that role to follow, you have to be fair. You've got to make sure that everybody 100% is on the same page, right? And yeah, you're going to have people that excel. You're going to have employees that are just better at certain things than others, but you have to understand that, because that's the power of the relationship. And we'll talk more about that particular subject, because I know that that's one thing that is always challenging. Another thing is you want to make sure that your goals and achievements and things that you want them to achieve are reasonable, right? Don't expect sales to jump up by 50% overnight, you know, because now you're setting a goal for your staff, but it's something they can't reach. And so that's going to frustrate them. And they're going to be like, you know, what does Sean think we are? Superhuman? You know, we can't do that. So you want to be realistic. Sometimes you'll have decisions that are important in your business where you may want to include your employees in important decisions. You know, when employees work together to create certain policies, maybe they set certain organizational goals. It's like that whole thing that we talked about earlier in the show, is that don't come to me with a problem, come to me with a solution. It allows the staff to say, you know what, guys, gals, this is not working. I need all of us to come together, figure out a better way for this to happen. Okay. What that's going to do is that's going to make them feel like they're a part of the business more. They're not just an employee. They're not just a staff member. There's somebody who is now has ownership. They're like, I came up with that policy. That was my idea. And they're going to be proud about it. And they're going to talk about it. They're going to make sure that that one thing is implemented even stronger, because they're now taking ownership. They feel valued. And that's very important to your organization. Okay. And again, I'm going to reiterate that you want to play by the same rules for everybody. That includes yourself. So if you expect them to do certain things based on policy of the company, like don't smoke in my vehicle, don't drink while you're on the clock, don't do all, I mean, and you know, those seem like common sense things. But if you don't want them to smoke in your vehicle, if you don't want them to do certain things, then that means you don't do it either. If you're out, let's say with the delivery crew, and you're doing certain things on the job because you're out there helping out for the day, don't just slack off because you've got a staff. You want to show, hey, I'm going to do these things because this is what I want you to do. We always had this one thing when I was in the party rental business. We installed, rented, and we did a lot of outdoor parties with a lot of tents. So we had the installation of the tents and things. And, you know, when our tents were being installed, we always had straps, you know, the ratchet straps. And one of the biggest things that always drove me crazy was when the ratchet straps were not rolled up on the job site. And I never understood why they would want to throw them all on a truck and just leave them all in a big bundle. But yet 2 or 3 days later, or the following week, or 2 weeks down the road, they're loading up for another job and they're like, where's all of our straps? We can't find our straps. Well, it's because you're not keeping them organized, right? That's what I always thought. And so from time to time, when I would go out on the job with them, I would always try to roll up the straps and everything else. But I started to understand, well, you know what? That's not always the easiest way for them, because it's you know, sometimes they're in a hurry. They've got to get that tent away from the location. They got to get it on the truck and get out of there. You know, sometimes the scenario didn't call for that. But when I was out there, I always did my best to try to stay organized. And I knew that things that I wanted, like if I wanted the straps to be rolled up, or if I wanted certain things to happen, I always tried to do that and lead by example. And also remember that honesty is the best policy. You know, when you lie to your employees, you 100% tear away that trust. And once you damage a relationship, especially when it's a trust issue, that is really hard to gain back. In most cases, you can't gain it back. Even when telling the truth is difficult, you got to bite the bullet. You know, you may have to say something you don't want to say to the employee because maybe certain things aren't happening the right way, but your employees overall, especially if they're a quality person, a quality employee, if they're going to be part of your company, they need to know the truth. If something's not going right, they need to know, and they will appreciate you and respect you more because you're being honest with them. Now, if they get upset and they get bent out of shape, you know, either they'll have to take time and just get over that, or maybe they weren't the right person for that anyway. So something to think about. You know, there's going to be times that your employees are going to love you, and there's going to be times that they're going to hate you. And it's not that they're going to hate you, but they're going to just say, you know what? That right there upset me. But then they're going to sit back and say, well, you know, Sean had to make that decision, you know, or Mr. Boss Man had to make that decision, or Miss Boss Lady had to make that decision. And it wasn't easy for them. And that's why if they understand that you're being sincere and you lead by the right intentions all the time, when things like that come up, it should not be a negative situation. I mean, it's going to have, you know, an uncomfortable feeling, but overall, they are going to respect you for that. Managing employees, having a staff requires you to have thick skin and an ability to work with all sorts of different personality types. Sometimes you may run across an employee who doesn't like you, but you've got to manage them anyway, right? So let's talk about that for a couple minutes. What are the things that you can do when an employee doesn't like you? Well, the first inkling would be like, well, if someone doesn't like me, then the heck with them. They get over it or they get out. Well, they might be a good employee, but they just might not like you. So it might be trying to understand what that problem is. Maybe reaching out to the employee, try to identify what that issue is. You know, I had a time when we had a member of our staff, and, you know, I really didn't have a direct problem with that person. But because of another person that came into the company, painted this picture of things that we needed to be doing, you know, and I was at that point in the career where it's like, you know, I want to make some modifications, some changes. And I was looking for leadership. I was looking for people to take the reins because I did not want to do certain things myself. I just couldn't do everything myself anymore, right? When it came to that, because we had a lot of business, a lot of things happening, multiple things going on. And that's just where I was at. So I really took this person who I thought was bringing a huge, tremendous amount of benefit or a big value to our company. I really took what they said for word. And it came to kind of bite me in the rear end a little bit with a couple of situations, because it put some negative feelings between myself and one of our guys that ended up being with us longer term than that person that I you know, kind of gravitated towards. And those are the things that happen as a business owner. You know, you make mistakes. We're human. Things happen. And that's where we have to be willing to admit what we did wrong. We have to be willing to understand our faults and what we're doing wrong, because this person that I was gravitating towards or really embracing what they're saying was really sabotaging certain things inside the business, right? And I didn't realize that. Fortunately, we were able to get past that. We were able to get beyond that. And the person that I ended up, you know, firing really for no real good reason, or basically just telling them not to come back, you know, if they didn't do A, B, and C, you know, that person, we still have a relationship. We no longer have that company. We have a personal relationship with that person. So we've been able to patch things through since then, but I'll tell you, it wasn't easy. So the reason why I bring that up is because I want you to understand that when things like that happen, if I were to step back and if that were to happen to me again, what I would do is I would 100% just make myself understand that I was wrong. And I would sit down with that person and say, listen, this is where my head was. I understand what happened and I apologize, but I'm going to be honest with you. It was not right. It was not correct. And is there a way that we can go ahead and patch things up? You want that conversation to be genuine. You want it to be raw. You want it to be real. You want it to be from your heart. Otherwise it's fake and there's no point in doing that because we're going to make mistakes. We're going to do things that we will be proud of for years to come. We're going to do things that we're just not proud of. But when we make those mistakes, we have to make sure that we understand what happened and we have to learn from that. So what that does is that allows you to refocus on what you're doing with that employee, that person that is now, again, a part of your company. You want to refocus your energy and get on the same page because you want to try to patch that up because that person may not like you now, right? Because you want to communicate with that employee effectively. Because sometimes miscommunication is the reason behind conflicts in any workplace. You know, to avoid poor communication with employees, maybe you want to clarify what was said whenever you're talking with someone, repeat it back to the person. So if you're giving somebody direction, saying, okay, so this is what we want to do. Let's recap, go through it again. You know, you don't want to talk to them like they're a second grader or someone who is, you know, you don't want them to feel, you know, ignorant or anything like that. You just want to avoid the miscommunication because that can lead to bad feelings. It can lead to horrible conflict because if you, the boss, explain something one way and they don't understand it, that person now goes and implements what they thought you explained to them and is done wrong. And now you come back to them and say, why was it messed up? Now they're going to be upset at you because you did not properly communicate that message. And then from there, you have to accept the situation for what it is. You know, if you've done everything you can to patch up somebody that really doesn't like you, perhaps there's nothing you can do. You know, they're just not going to like you. Maybe your style of management rubs them the wrong way. It's fine to reevaluate the way in which you manage, but in the end, don't make the mistake of overcompensating to make employees like you more. I mean, it's fine to accept the situation for what it is and make sure that their job is being done properly. You know, that's why you also have evaluations within a business and you go through certain things and it all depends on the law of your state. You know, it might just be one of those things where if it's stressing you out, stressing them out, you may have to agree to disagree and part ways. And this is the thing that I wanted to talk about that I said I was going to come back to. Or you as a business owner, hear me out here. As a business owner, you have to be willing to accept certain things because you have to understand that employees, subcontractors, human beings that are part of your business, they're not perfect. We're not perfect. But they're also not going to be exactly what you are, right? That doesn't make them a bad person. But a lot of times people will automatically assume as an employee or a subcontractor that they're not getting what they're worth. They're not being paid enough. They're not appreciated enough. So with that being said, they might try to replace what they're not getting financially or they're not feeling right as far as you're not complimenting them enough, whatever the case may be. So they might want to try to do little things where they can get you, you know, I'm going to go ahead and, you know, hang out for 15 minutes on my phone without clocking out because, you know, he owes it to me. Or I'm going to clock in, then I'm going to go use the bathroom, do certain things because he owes it to me. Or, you know, when I go to buy fuel or I go to buy some stuff with the company card, I'm going to buy a couple of drinks, you know, because he owes it to me. or, you know, just anything. So when you have a staff, when you have employees, you can't let every little detail drive you crazy. You have to learn to accept certain things. Like, we had one employee that was always spot on when it came to work. And the work was always impeccable. We knew that when we sent that person on the job, they did a great job. They did a fantastic job. We knew that the job was always going to be done good. It was always going to be done to the standards or above what the client expected. But the problem with this person was that person was never on time. Now, I'm not talking about not on time to where it would affect the job and, you know, the event would run late or something like that. That's unacceptable. But if we wanted them to come in at 8, they would show up at 8:10 or 8:15. You know, now what we had to do was either, we had two options. We could have allowed that to stress us out and fire that person because it didn't work. Or you could take the good and say, this person does a great job. They do A, B, C, D, E, F, and G, and they always excel in what they do. They don't complain, nothing. But they're always 15 minutes late. So what we decided to do is we decided to accept the fact that that person's going to be 15 minutes late normally. And we accepted that. And by doing that, that enabled us to be so less stressed out with that person. We didn't worry about it and everything else. So my advice as a person who has hired employees, who has had challenges throughout their business career with the relationship of employees. And I say challenges because you don't want to become too close, but when you become close to these people, when they become part of your family, they become friends, you know, you also want to be able to separate that division. And so this is my advice. When you have people that are good people, especially good employees, you have to choose what out of that person you're going to overlook, right? Is it the fact that they are late every day? Is it the fact that, you know, maybe you own a candy store and you're like, I know my staff's going to steal candy. I know they're going to. So maybe leave the candy that you're okay with them taking out in a place where it's okay for them to eat it. So that way they're not taking the stuff that matters the most. And I'm not saying stealing is ever a good thing. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is employees or subcontractors are always going to have that feeling where they're not paid enough. They're not appreciated enough. So they're going to want to try to do something. And I'm not saying everybody's this way, but through the years dealing with employees and also talking to other business owners, this is common, very common in business. So if you're that flower shop owner or candy store owner or whatever the case may be, and you know, well, I don't want my roses to be taken, but if I have this area over here of flowers that they don't cost me a whole lot, and I know that there's something that they're going to want to take, I'm okay with that. Take away, right? I hope that makes sense, because I know that that is something that was always something that I, well, not always. I struggled with it for a little while, and I got some advice from some other people, and it really helped me. So I wanted to share that information with you. Another thing that I wanted to just leave you with today, when it comes to employees and when it comes to staff, when it comes to people that are working underneath your company umbrella, you're the owner, understandable. They're going to come to you with problems. And sometimes you just need to not hear any complaints. You don't want to do anything because you don't want to burn yourself out. And so I had an issue when we were running our event business. Because we were doing weddings on the weekends and everything else, our store was open Monday through Saturday. We were closed on Sunday, but we were doing events. It was 7 days a week, and it was burning us out. I had to set a rule that, and I chose Wednesday. I chose Wednesday. I said, listen, I don't want my phone to ring. I don't want anything to happen. I don't want emails come through. I don't want any of that stuff coming to me from this store, from this staff at all on Wednesday, unless this place is on fire. Because I know all of you can handle everything that's going on and everything else can wait till the next day. So please allow Wednesday to be my day. And you know what? That worked. The staff appreciated that. They respected it. They realized that I believed in them. They were productive. They got a lot of stuff done, but they left me alone. That was wonderful. So that is the advice I wanted to leave you with. So relationships with employees, relationships with contractors is inevitably going to be a part of your business, more than likely if you're growing your business. Even if you're not working with them face-to-face, maybe you're all online-based, but you have to expand and you need to bring other people into your company. Just understand that relationship when you go in, all right? And try to look through not only your sets of lenses, but their sets of lenses. Put yourself in them shoes. And hopefully some of this advice today will help you and it'll be effective. If you want to share some of your stories, I am always wanting to know more. I want to know what works for you, what hasn't worked for you, the good, the bad, the ugly. So let me know. Don't forget to share this information. Like, love, subscribe, and don't forget, this is Certifiably Unemployable. And until next time.
You've been listening to Certifiably Unemployable. Ready to fire the boss yet? You're on your way. Sean has been self-employed for over 20 years. So if that's something that you want to do, something you've been dreaming about for years, Sean has all the knowledge, good, bad, and indifferent. We hope you've gotten some useful and practical information from this show. And we'll be back soon. But in the meantime, hook up with us on Facebook and Instagram at Certifiably Unemployable. Find us on YouTube and at www.certifiablyunemployable.com. Till next time, this is Certifiably Unemployable, signing off.